Children may go to children's church. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for who you are, our Savior and our Lord. Lord, it is our great privilege to gather here this morning and worship you and to hear your word. Father, I ask an anointing that you would anoint me to be able to preach this word that you laid on my heart for your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. A philosopher named Xanthus was going to have some friends over for dinner. He really wanted to impress them. So he sent a servant to the market and said, "Get the very best that they have." The philosopher and his guests sat down for dinner the next day. 4 or 5 courses of nothing but tongue was served. Xanthus lost his patience with the servant and said, "Didn't I tell you to get the best thing at the market?" The servant replied, "I did. Isn't tongue the organ of sociability, the organ of eloquence, the organ of kindness, the organ of worship?" The philosopher said, "Tomorrow I want you to get the worst thing at the market." The next day he sat down at the table again and was given 4 or 5 courses of nothing but tongue. Again, he lost his patience with the servant. "Didn't I tell you to get the worst thing at the market?" The servant replied, "I did. Isn't tongue the organ of blasphemy, the organ of defamation, the organ of lying?" My sermon title this morning is "Watch Your Tongue." This is one of those sermons that you say, "Wow, you want me to preach that, Lord? I'm going to make people mad. How many love His Word?"
Amen.
Even when it brings conviction. It's truly amazing that such a small part of our body can do such great good or such great harm. We touched on it a little in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes we use it too little when it comes to praise and encouragement to people. Kindness. Sometimes we use it too much when it comes to gossip or slander or complaining. Washington Irving said, "The tongue is the only tool that grows sharper with constant use." The Apostle James in his epistle speaks directly to the matter. Let's read James chapter 3. "For we all stumble in many things." We all. "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to also bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at the ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God our Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." Here James warns us rather sharply, amen?
Yes.
About the tongue. Anyone here have tongue trouble? Anyone? Like 4 people. Anyone here have tongue trouble? A tongue gets you in trouble sometimes. There we go. We all know the power of words. But too often we don't use or choose them carefully. Go ahead and shout even though you don't feel like it. Maybe we'll ouch instead. Just yell out ouch. With our tongue we can build up. Anyone ever had a word of encouragement? With our tongue we can tear down. Have you ever received a compliment or a word of encouragement? It's not just a nice thing. It can really make an impact on your life. It can cause you to have confidence. It can cause you to try harder. It can even cause you to be successful. A word of encouragement. What about criticism or an insult? These can be the most harsh and cruel. They can affect a person for a lifetime. Things like, you are worthless. Or, you will never amount to anything. Or, you are good for nothing. I shared before, and I shared in Sunday school last week, I grew up with this sort of thing from both my parents. That's the things that I heard from my mom and my dad. You're worthless. You'll never amount to anything. Words are truly powerful, and they affect me to this day. Thank the Lord. The Lord gives me strength, and the Lord gives me improvement in that area. But there are certain parts of my life that are still affected by what came out of my parents' mouth. Words are powerful. Words are truly powerful. They can do great good, or they can do great harm. But I want to tell you, if you're here today and you've experienced that kind of negative talk in your life, I won't ask you to say amen and raise your hand. But I know there are other people here that have experienced that kind of negativity from people. I see heads nodding. This message is for you. I want to tell you, you are not worthless. Amen. In fact, the Bible says something quite different. It says something very different. In fact, it says that you are for whom Christ died. Hallelujah. He thinks that you are worth dying for. Amen. Regardless of what somebody in your life said to you. You are not worthless. You are quite valuable to the one who really matters. Amen? Again, it is so very important that we watch our tongues and we're careful what we say. Look at verse 2 in James 3 here. It says, for we all stumble. Almost all the hands went up. Not quite. There's still a couple. But almost every hand went up. And I ask if you have trouble with your tongue, if sometimes it gets you there. For we all stumble. He says, in many things. Anyone here perfect? But it says, if anyone does not stumble in words, in other words, that tongue trouble, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. He's saying here, if you can control your tongue, you can control everything. You would be perfect. You would be the perfect, another word for it is the mature Christian man or woman. We all stumble. We all commit sins of the tongue. If you didn't, you would be that perfect man. It's common to all of us, and James is addressing all of us in this epistle. Amen? In what ways do we stumble? In what ways do we sin with our tongues? In other words, what are the sins of the tongue? The first one I have for you is blasphemy. Blasphemy primarily means harsh speech against God or against that which is sacred. The Pharisees accused Jesus and the early Christians of blasphemy. Actually, they were the ones who were guilty because they attributed the miracles of Jesus to Satan. But I believe it's not just speaking harshly against the Lord, but I believe it is also using His name in vain. Amen. That's where it gets tough. That's where it hits home. Commonly, people use the name of God, the Creator of the universe, the One, the very One who gives us life, as a common curse word. I cringe when I hear it, as many of you do. But it goes beyond that to even just using it in a casual way, such as saying, oh my, you know what. And it's a struggle. It's hard to tame our tongues from using that expression that every one of us here probably grew up with, and every one of us here has probably used it from time to time, and possibly still use it to this day. We need to curb our tongues. We need to watch what we say. God is great. Amen? Yeah. God is holy, and He is to be revered. You may say, well, I would never blaspheme. Again, His name is holy. His name is to be honored and respected and not used in a casual way. He is the master of everything. Creator of the universe. The high and holy one. The mighty God. And we need to use His name with reverence and not in a casual way. And again, you may say, well, I would never blaspheme. That's too harsh. Well, I would invite you to examine yourself just in case. Amen? The second one, ways we sin with our tongue, is evil speaking. And that sounds, whoa, I'm a Christian. I wouldn't be involved in evil speaking. So let's look at it. The Greek word here is katalalia. Kata, listen now, evil speaking. Katalalia. Kata means down, and lalia means speech. Down speech. Wow. Down speech. This closely parallels our common expression of putting someone down. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many have ever put someone down? The Bible refers to that. The Greek word is evil speaking. Down speech. Speaking down. The word is used, evil speaking, the word is used three times in James 4:11. It says, do not speak evil of one another. Downspeak. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Wow. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of a law, but a judge. Evil speaking. Other translations of the word include backbite, revile, defame, and slander. And as it is many times, you know, we can hear words like that, but sometimes we don't really know what their meaning is. We kind of gloss over it. We know it's bad. You know, backbiting, that doesn't sound like anything good, amen? Reviling, defaming, and slander. Let's look. Backbite means to say mean or spiteful things. Guilty is charged right here. I'm guilty. As many of you are, maybe all. To say mean and spiteful things. That's what it means to backbite. Revile means to abuse verbally. Defame means to harm the reputation by libel or slander. That's talking about someone to someone else so that it harms their reputation. Down speech. Again, it's down speech. Talking down about someone. We should be encouraging people. We should be lifting people up. We should not be speaking down about them. No matter what they've done or what they're doing. Amen? Come on, somebody. Slander means to utter against. So when we look closely, we may find that we are guilty of evil speaking when we look at it. I'm not hearing any shouts. Amen? Hurts me too. Have you ever thought of saying mean or spiteful things? Have you ever thought of it as evil speaking? It's interesting, isn't it? You know, because if we just looked at it, blasphemy and evil speaking, we might think, well, I don't do that. That's not me. And James clearly tells us that we are not to do so. Evil speaking or down speech. Guilty as charged. Is this getting close to home? Shout.
Already come in the door.
It's hard. It's hard to hear these things that convict us, but how many know it's for our own good?
Amen.
How many want to be closer to Jesus?
Amen.
All right. So we have blasphemy, evil speaking. Put your toes under the chair. Ready? Whisperers. Wow. Whisperers. Whispering in itself is not wrong unless one whispers evil or other unsavory things. The Greek word, I can't pronounce it, but it starts with PSI. And in Greek, they would pronounce the P and the S. So the word in the Greek that means whispering kind of sounds like what it is. Psst. Ever done that? Psst. Got to say it low so nobody else hears you. Uh-oh. Unless you're whispering sweet nothings in your true love's ear, might not want to be whispering unless you're worried about waking up the baby or something like that, amen? If you have to whisper, it's probably best not to say it. Come on.
All right.
Well, many think whispering and gossip are no big deal. You know, that's kind of like gluttony. We laugh. But does the Bible speak against these things?
Amen.
Do you believe the Bible? And that's our guide And if it says it's a sin, it's what?
Sin.
A sin. But we kind of laugh them off. Like these are little sins. The Bible says if we offend in one point, we offend in all. So again, many people think whispering and gossiping are no big deal. Let's look at that. Romans chapter 1. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Okay? Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. And listen to this list. Strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. Listen, they are whisperers. Wow. Backbiters, it continues on in verse 30. Haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. What a list! I don't want that list on me. How about you? And that list includes whisperers and backbiters and boasting. Tongue trouble. Amen? It's clear to see what the Lord thinks of gossip.
Amen.
And if we're honest, we could admit that it's easy to go along with it. It's easy to go along with gossip when it comes around. It kind of seems to be our nature. What? What was that? What's happening? What'd he do? What'd she say? And it's so hard to push that away and not be involved in it. Amen?
Amen.
We kind of feel like if we could put someone else down or point out their faults, somehow it makes us feel better about ourselves. So we eat it up. What did they do? What did they say? Well, I would never do that. What if, when someone starts to tell us some gossip, we simply said, can I quote you on this? And if they said no, which they likely will, we can say that we're not interested in hearing it. Let that one sink in. You know, it's just like if someone, ever have someone come up and start to tell you an off-color joke? And you had to stop them? Somebody? Amen? Yeah, it's the same thing. Whoa. I don't want to hear that. Same thing with gossip. Somebody starts out with the same gossip. I'm not interested in hearing it. And if they get mad at you, too bad. Because you're doing what's right in the sight of the Lord. Come on. Can I quote you on that? That'll put a stop right to it. Gossip can be very harmful and is many times nothing more than false information anyway. Just recently, I was told something about someone that someone came up with based on an assumption. And it turned out to be completely false. It was a major thing, too. I'm not going to tell you because I'm not going to gossip. Come on.
I want to know.
Tell you later. Not. It's like in church, if someone in the first row leaned back and told someone in the second row something, and they told somebody, you've seen that, how something goes down the line, the information gets changed. And let's say first row leans back and says, my ear kind of hurts. Second row might say to the next, the pastor has an earache. The next row might say, the pastor got a hearing aid. The next row might say, the pastor's having trouble hearing. And we're getting way back now, the next row might say, the pastor got a double earring. I knew that would sink in a second or two. Next thing you know, somebody's walking out saying, that does it, I'm out of here because the pastor's got a double earring.
Yeah, they're nice looking, too.
Whispering and gossip can be very harmful. Do you see it? And like I said, many times it's false information. And you're helping to spread that if you go along with it. Somebody say ouch. So if blasphemy, evil speaking, and whispering don't hit home with you, let's try another one. Shout, shout. Complaining.
No complaining.
Mm-hmm. I actually quote you on that here in just a little bit. Complaining. The Greek words in the New Testament mean to murmur, to complain, to grumble, to gripe, and so on. Like the word for whispering, these words kind of sound like they are too. Grumble. Right? Gripe. Murmur. Anybody ever do that? Well, I have a wife of mine, I'll tell you, she wants me to take out the trash and wants me to do this and do that. Huh? Come on.
I hear toes
squawk. Yeah. It's very likely that we're all guilty of this one to one extent or another. Even Pastor Lay, with his famous line, no complaints, probably grumbles or complains once in a while. After all, he has to put up with all of us.
You're spreading false.
We'll talk to Linda later. Even the disciples murmured. You know what they murmured about? Jesus' teaching. All right, show of hands. Who's guilty? Come on, stretch. Come on. It's easy for us to look down on the Jews in the wilderness. You know, you read about them and you hear God provides what they need, and you know, the pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, and gives them manna, and their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years, and they complained and they murmured. But if we're not careful, we can be guilty of the same thing. Right. Praise the Lord, brother and sister Ryan had all that damage done, but they looked at what was good. Philippians 4:8, whatever things are a good report, the good report is, didn't get my house. Just some trees and a TV tower. Didn't get my house. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? Yes, sir.
We had a big tower, not a TV tower. It fell. There's a car there.
All right. That's right. So count. Yeah, it's like that old saying, count your blessings. Philippians 4:8, think of what things are good, whatever things are good report. You know, with us recently, you know, we've had a pretty good summer. Usually the summer is really slow for sales of our antiques and stuff. And okay. All right. But anyway, the summertime is usually pretty slow for us, but it's been a good summer, and we actually got a little bit ahead financially. A little bit. And then I just went to the doctor, and that cost me $172. I'm not complaining. Listen now, let me finish. Hold still, brother. And now my truck's broke down, and that could very well cost me $500 or $600. And we're not patting ourselves on the back, but you know what he said? Thank God we have it. We had the excess ahead of time. Instead of, you know, honestly, my first instinct was to go, great, we got a little bit ahead, there goes that. But praise the Lord, we haven't. He's already met the need, amen? We've got to be careful, or we can do that. We can murmur and complain. Manna again? But instead of complaining, what do? We should count our blessings. We should look at those things that are of a good report. Thank the Lord. No wonder verse 2 in our main text says that if anyone does not offend with his tongue, he is perfect. Once again, anybody here perfect? I don't see any hands. Good. The tongue is small but truly powerful. Verses 3 through 5 says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at the ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. So small, it says, but boasts great things. Anyone here ever boast? Look out. It's easy for us to boast about our abilities, or our talents, or our triumph, our possessions. See my new car? That's right. I got the power windows. Our position? Do you know who I am? Do you know who you're talking to? Our accomplishments? Even our spirituality. Isn't that something? You might even hear someone say that they're proud of their humility. And you know, boasting does not have to be verbal. Sometimes it's just a look. A proud look, as a matter of fact, is one of the seven things the Lord hates, along with a lying tongue. Proverbs 6:16-19 says, "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven, are an abomination to Him." First one on the list, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord amongst the brethren. Three or four of those have to do with sins of the tongue or sins of the attitude. Again, a proud look, I mean, that's the same as boasting with your tongue, but it's just a look. How many know we need to be careful? James 4:16 says this about boasting, "But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil." Wow. James 3:6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell." I think James was trying to get a point across here, amen? Strong words. But this is because the tongue is so important and can do such great damage. It's not just words, folks. It can cause great damage. Think of the things that can be destroyed by it. Marriages, friendships, reputations, lives. Think of your children. And the effects the words that you say, for good or for bad, have on them. It says that the fire of the tongue defiles the whole body and sets on fire the whole course of nature. The course of nature in the Greek means the wheel of life, or one's whole life from birth to death. The tongue can pollute and defile one's whole life. Very powerful. If you think of any evil or any sin, it's very likely that words are involved in the thoughts of the mind or verbally spoken. Such a powerful thing. Note the source of the fiery tongue. It says it is set on fire by hell. I want to tell you this morning that a believer's tongue has no business speaking words of hell's destruction. Words that are ugly, words that are unclean, cursing, angry, divisive, unkind, suggestive, or tail-bearing. It has no place. 1 Peter 2:1 tells us that we are to put that away. Listen, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking." Remember evil speaking, right? Downspeech. Talking down about someone. We're to lay all that aside. Is it tough? Is it? Is it hard to do? And James tells us, you know, that every creature of the air and the land and the sea can be tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It's hard. "For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Now think about that. Go beyond just reading the words. Go beyond that. Does a spring have both fresh water and bitter? No. Can a fig tree bear olives? Now you're a Christian. What are you to bear? Fruit of what? The fruit of the Spirit. Can you bear the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the world? Kind of cancels it out, doesn't it? When you're bearing the fruit of the world, it kind of cancels it out. Can a fig tree bear, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? And James tells us straight up here, thus no spring yields both salt water or bitter water and fresh. The tongue is the only creature that cannot be tamed. Yet James is telling us that these things ought not to be so. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, he's very convincing, amen? He tells us, you know, the tongue is an unruly evil, it's full of poison, set on fire of hell. No man can tame it. It can tame anything else in this world, but no man can tame the tongue. And if any man doesn't sin by words, he's a perfect man. It sounds hopeless. But yet, he's telling us, you're talking good and you're talking bad. You're speaking praise to God and you're putting down men and cursing men. These things ought not to be.
Amen.
So how can we have it both ways? How can it be? It seemingly, he makes it sound impossible. So what are we to do? Again, how many have tongue trouble? About a third of what had tongue trouble earlier. The Lord must be working. Get him, Holy Spirit. Yes?
Does it count if you say it to the face?
Well, the Bible does tell us how to handle those things correctly, and I don't think down speech would ever be right. You know. So what are we to do? We all have the trouble. James seems to be telling us it's impossible, but I want to tell you the Bible tells us that with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
Matthew Henry said, no man can tame the tongue without supernatural grace and assistance.
Amen.
The apostle does not intend to represent this thing impossible, but as a thing extremely difficult, which will therefore require great watchfulness, pains, and prayer. And again, I think this speaks to every one of us. I know it speaks to me. Guilty as charged. And every one of us, to one extent or another, need to watch our tongue. And how are we going to do it? It's the hardest thing to tame. But we have hope in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's going to take watchfulness. Watch your tongue. Bite it if you have to. Come on. You ever go, if you got to do that, do it. Amen? To watch your tongue. To not cross that line. You may have to stop a gossip. Let me stop you right there. I don't want to hear it. You know, sometimes gossip is disguised as a prayer request. Woe be to us that if we start off gossip by saying, hey, pray for so-and-so. And then the juicy stuff starts to flow. Woe unto us that we would use something as, say, asking for prayer as a reason to talk down about someone or just to spread the gossip. Woe unto us. But it's going to take watchfulness, catching yourself, asking the Lord to forgive you when you slip. We don't want to blaspheme. We don't want to be guilty of evil speaking or whispering. We don't want to be guilty of these things, amen? And it's going to take watchfulness. Matthew Henry said it's going to take pains. That means, yes, that means disciplining yourself and crucifying the flesh. You're not always going to have your way. That means surrendering your rights. Well, you don't know what they said to me. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Amen.
You're to love them back anyway. Doesn't matter what they did. Doesn't matter what they said. You're to love them. Soft word turns away wrath, the Bible says. Wow, what wisdom. What wisdom. A soft word, can't argue with yourself. Now there are some people that are going to be stubborn and bullheaded and they're just going to stomp their feet and cross their arms and walk away. You did what you're supposed to do. Okay? And that doesn't mean go, yeah, well, forget it. Just walk away then. No. Love them. Not sarcastically. Really love them. Buy them a present. Bake them a pie. Bake me a pie. Oh, sorry. Not thinking about pie there for a second. But I want to tell you this morning in closing, it's not fitting for a Christian to have an untamed tongue. Can a fig tree bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? We ought not praise God. We all praise God here this morning. We had worship this morning. And we ought not use that same tongue to turn around and curse men. To use God's name in vain, to down-talk someone, to spread gossip, rumoring, complaining, murmuring. These things ought not to be, amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know it's hard to hear. It's hard to preach. It's hard to preach when you're out making everybody laugh and smile and shout, shout. But how many know sometimes we need to hear the stingy stuff? Come on. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would work with each and every one of us. Lord, convict us, Lord. Reveal to us in our hearts where we're wrong. And Lord, help us to admit when we're wrong and to respond with repentance. Lord, it's time for renewal. It's time for revival. And these things start with the very household of God. Lord, we need to be closer to You. We need to come to You and ask forgiveness and ask for strength in this area. Lord, I just pray that You would strengthen each one, Lord, that You would forgive us of where we've gone wrong and help us, Lord, to watch our tongue, that we would follow You and that we would please You in all things. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.